On today's Part of My Take, we are still in Miami. Feels like we've been here forever. We have our good friend Joe Buck stop by our haunted hotel suite, and we talked to him about a lot of stuff, a lot of fun. We also have a recap of Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. We do a little Stay Woke, and we have a Mayweather McGregor update. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get to all of that, I want to talk to you guys about Stitch Fix for Men. If you're like a lot of guys, you could probably think of a million things you'd rather be doing than shopping for clothes. Between the parking and crowds at the mall and the endless browsing and lack of advice online, it's enough to make you want to rock the same t-shirt and jeans forever, but you can't. So let me tell you about Stitch Fix Men. They've reimagined how to find and buy clothes, and you never even have to leave the house. It's that easy. Just go to stitchfix.com and tell them your sizes, your favorite type of clothes, and how much you want to spend. Your personal stylist then gets to work handpicking new clothes for you based on your style and budget. 5 items are delivered right to your door. You try them on at home, and you only pay for what you keep. Shipping's free both ways, and here is the deal for you right now. Get started now at stitchfix.com/PMT, and you'll get 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. 25% off. That's stitchfix.com/PMT.
I just want to give a ringing endorsement of Stitch Fix because I actually used them.
Okay.
Here's how much they got me, okay? In the box that they sent, a Hawaiian shirt, and then here's the best part. It was jeans, but they were sweatpants.
Oof.
Sweatpants that look like jeans.
They know you.
Sweat jeans.
They feel you.
Perfect.
Yes. So do that. If they can nail down PFT's style like that, they can nail down anyone's at stitchfix.com/PMT to get started today. Stitchfix.com/PMT. 25% off. Let's go.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, July 12th, and I am sick and fucking tired of Miami.
I want to blow your mind real quick. Somebody tweeted out that this week is palindrome week for dates, so all the dates are the same forward as they are backward. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't fact check it, but
okay,
it sounds
you can't
cool.
Do that to me right as the show starts, because
kaboom.
I'm now sitting here like, what?
7, 12, 20, checks out.
Okay, we went, there we go. Race car.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Old palindrome right there. We are still in Miami. It feels like we've been here forever.
You sound really happy about that.
Well, here's the thing with Miami. It is so damn hot and muggy. The air suffocates you.
Yeah.
And I know I'm heavy. I know I'm out of shape. But we walked a half mile today in the sun, in the noon sun. And I thought I was going to die.
Miami is a big high noon city. If you're walking outside, you feel the high noon.
Yes.
You need to. Here's what Miami needs to do. They need to change up the clothing a little bit for out-of-towners. Maybe just sell the robes that you wear in the Middle East.
Yeah.
When you get off an airport, just like dress up like a Saudi prince.
Soft linen.
Yeah, just walking around anywhere.
1,000 thread. 10,000 thread.
It feels so hot outside, and it rains every night at the same time.
Yes.
And
you're like, and the worst part is you say, ooh, this rain's going to make it cool, and then it's somehow hotter after the rain.
Yeah, oh, it's going to break this heat wave up a little bit, but
no,
still really hot.
So we just wrapped up going to the Home Run Derby, and probably the most boring All-Star game ever. Turns out it's kind of fun when things actually matter. Now, I know that having it matter as much as it used to was a little ridiculous, but I would prefer for it to matter than sit there and be like, oh, who gives a shit? 2-1 game. No one's really trying that hard. Bryce Harper flipped his hair. Wow, what a game.
Yeah. Well, with my rule changes, that game actually would have been 20-10. So that's actually a pretty high scoring game if you just make every run count as 10 points.
True.
Like football does. My theory as to why the All-Star game sucks is that the teams don't have enough time to haze each other. So there's no team building before the game starts.
Yes.
So you don't get to, like, tape a guy to a wall or just jerk a guy off.
Lay a guy down and start jerking him off.
So guys aren't able to, like, contribute. There's not enough buy-in on the team.
Right.
But nobody told Max Scherzer that this was an exhibition game.
Ooh,
he
was pissed.
He was mad when he got pulled after one inning. He was pacing in the dugout like a tiger that's trapped in a cage.
Well, I told you as it was happening, because we were watching, I was like, you know it's not the Cubs year when Joe Maddon is somehow pissing off guys in exhibition games that aren't even on his team.
He's mismanaging other people's bullpens.
Right, exactly. So, and it also isn't the Cubs year when we somehow managed to lose the exhibition game that doesn't matter.
Yep.
Wade Davis gave up the game-winning home run in the 10th inning. We all were rooting for a tie, but as I said, the spin zone instantly, he was just trying to keep Yadi from winning MVP. Mm-hmm. So actually, he just earned his pinstripes.
He earned his Cubs pinstripes. Yeah. Maybe the best part of the entire All-Star game was that fish thing out in center field. Mm. The one that they kept hitting with dingers in the home run derby.
So
did you see it when it went off?
Yes.
After the home run? It sprays water. The fish starts circling. It's like a big, it's like a slot machine of fish.
Yeah.
I want one of those, like, in my living room every time I have sex. I just pull it to celebrate.
It's a home run bukkake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people will start coming if you call it that, Loria. Mm-hmm. The home run derby was awesome. That as boring as the All-Star game was, that's how fun the home run derby was. This is going to be like, people are like, wow, sick brag, you went to the home run derby. I have never been wowed by home runs like I was. Like Aaron Judge's home runs made me just sit there like, holy shit, how can a human being look so effortless and hit the ball 500 feet? And he hit one off of the roof. It rattled around, slowed down, still went over the wall.
Yeah, it was pretty cool being there. I was looking around the stadium. So we were in left field, which we thought would be ground zero for all the home runs to land.
No.
Turns out that it was a freaking launching pad last night. So all the home runs were going about 60 feet over our head.
Yeah.
So we adapted our style. We had our gloves. We started throwing them up in the air to try to knock the balls down. Turns out when they're 60 feet over your head, you can't throw a glove.
Still not even close.
But we were trying. We were going for it. It was cool to see the dingers when they were taking like paint off the fish bukkake, the home run bukkake. That was kind of cool.
The home run derby, and then the fact that Aaron Judge, which we predicted beforehand, he is now maybe the face of baseball.
Careful. Maybe the face of
Rob
baseball.
Rob Manfred had two big things come out of this week. One, the balls are decidedly not juiced. He wants that on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Sure thing. And two, Aaron Judge could become the face of baseball.
Potentially, yes. Here's the thing, though, a little stay woke about the balls. A lot of talk about how far they were traveling last night. A lot of talk about how the balls are juiced this year. Manfred switched out the balls for the All-Star game to bring down the score on the biggest scale.
Yeah.
So he's getting out in front of that one a little bit. And then with Aaron Judge, the thing about him is he could be the face of baseball. His problem is he's too tall.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. He is a guy that once he starts having a lot of success in a sport that's maybe not as athletic as some other sports, people will be like, why didn't you play football?
Right.
And then he'll start talking about football. Take the conversation away from America's pastime.
All roads lead back to football.
Yeah.
Either way, I'll say this. Miami did put on a good event, so I'm not going to begrudge that. I just don't like Miami. Thought the All-Star game was boring, but the home run derby made up for it. That was one of the coolest things I've ever watched.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Hey, let's do a real quick impression of what it sounds like to be in the stands during the home run derby. Ready?
Yeah.
Crack. Oh,
and then the ball flies 100 feet over our head and wasn't even close.
Yeah, you know how like when women play tennis, it sounds like they're making love?
Yeah.
When there's a home run derby, it sounds like what dudes sound like. Real guys sound like we're making love.
Speaking of making sex noises, our good friend Rick Pitino was actually in attendance at the All-Star game sitting on the first base line.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at the prospect of making it to first base would be enough to make Rick Pitino come. I tweeted something out like that earlier, but I want to say it again.
It was fucking hilarious. And I'm going the other way. I'm offended. I'm offended that we were in the same building with Rick Pitino. He didn't come down his leg. Are we not hot enough for you, Rick?
What's up? Well, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see him stand up once.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Inconclusive whether Rick cummed in his pants while at the All-Star game.
Stay woke, Rick Pitino. His He was stuck to his seat. That's why I didn't stand up.
It would be perfect. The most boring All-Star game probably ever, and Rick Pitino still came down his leg. He's just so excited all the time.
Well, no, that's why Rick Pitino came to the game, because they say if you want to delay coming, you have to think about baseball.
Yes.
So that he's just, Rick Pitino's just going to go from baseball game to baseball game this entire summer. So
show me some box scores. So Let me see that box score again. So I wanted to take a check out.
So you can get 3 hours without coming.
Yeah. it's Rick Pitino's mind abstinence, just going to baseball games. All right. So we will get to who's back, Hot Seat Cool Throne in a second. We need to talk before that quickly about our friends at SeatGeek. They helped us out this week, and they are SeatGeek. I know we have a lot of advertisers. SeatGeek is the advertiser. They always do such a great job. It's baseball season. It's concert season. Summer concert season, nothing better. SeatGeek is the only app you need for all of that. If you want to go to any event in the summer, have some fun, be in the sun, drink some beer, SeatGeek will get you there cheaper and a better seat than anyone else. They save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals and get you the most bang for your buck. SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Like I said, you pull it up and then it'll say, hey, go sit here. This is the best seat. Boom. Little color code so you can figure it out. SeatGeek also is giving everyone a nice little $10 in your pocket. Like we said, it's not a check in the mail. It's nothing like that. It's boom, right as checkout. Download the SeatGeek app right now. Put in the promo code TAKE. That's T-A-K-E, T-A-K-E. And you will get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I'm giving you $10. I am handing you $10. So right now, you know you're going to go to an MLB game in the second half. You know you're going to go to a concert in July or August. You're going to go to that country concert. $10. Spend that on a beer. Put in the promo code TAKE with the SeatGeek app. Do it right now. Promo code TAKE. All right. Before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne, we have a ghost. We've been living with a ghost. So I think we explained to everyone on Sunday night that we had problems. We were hearing weird, like, Mexican/Cuban music on our recorder.
Was not present in the room.
Right. It got worse. We were sitting with Carl Ravitch doing a little Mount Rushmore with him. We were sitting here. No one was doing it. We were literally sitting on the couch, and from across the room, a huge, like, wine glass basically just jumped off the table and smashed.
Well, not even a wine glass. It's like a table fixture that's about, like, 6 pounds. It just fell off the table.
Fell off.
Shattered
no
on the
wind,
ground.
No wind.
Yeah.
It was controlled environment. The roof was closed.
It was creepy as hell. And then we came back from the home run derby, and there was, like, this big lamp that was overturned on the ground. Salt and pepper shakers were, like, strewn everywhere. There were, like, Red Bulls laying on there. And I know what you're thinking. We're slobs, and we probably left the room dirty.
No.
Which, yes, you're right. We are slobs.
Yes.
But I would never leave, like, I would drink the Red Bull. I wouldn't throw it on the ground.
Right. So, I'm a ghost guy. I love ghosts. I've tried to purchase 2 ghosts in my life. I've been at the finish line, and they've ghosted me.
That's
was
good.
Like 1.5 boobs on the Richter scale.
Like one.
Yeah. So I spent last night calling about a dozen paranormal investigators, seeing if they could get to the hotel room and do a little investigation. It was such short notice, so none of them could do it. But I found a guy, and we talked at length on the phone, and I explained the whole situation. He did some research. He has sent me an email about what could possibly be causing this. So here's the official email. You ready for this?
This is a diagnosis. This is different from talking to death, which is something that we do. This is a human being that I guess he can check for ghosts, or he can communicate with them.
Yep. Yes. He does it for love of the game. No money. You don't have to pay him. And he's from the War Party Paranormal. Check him out. They're out of West Palm Beach. So first, he gave us a little background. Ready for this? This is a rundown of Paranormal 101. In general, there are 3 different kinds of hauntings. Number 1 is the residual haunt. This is where energy is looped like a record. The energy remains in the place that has been doing it for a long time.
Okay.
Okay. Number 2 is what they call an intelligent haunting. These are humans that have crossed over and are still on this plane for one reason or another. These can manifest in different ways. They can go from hearing voices to seeing shadow people. There's also the poltergeist, which is also seen in this category. They usually manifest in a home where pre-adolescent Cain is. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. But it sounds like maybe, you know how the guy that is staying in the hotel next to us, or the hotel room next to us,
that's actually
that didn't move out. I think somebody just died in the hotel room. Right. And they're like, we're just going to keep the body or, until All-Star Week's over.
Or the ghost won't move out.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost never checks out. You can check out, but you can never leave.
Mm.
Whoop! Mm. The third kind of haunting is an elemental or non-human. These tend to be much harder to discern. These can be anything from a water elemental to a Native American elemental called a Wendigo.
Okay. That seems problematic.
Yeah.
W word.
Okay. So he's diagnosed us.
Okay.
All right. What it sounds like to me that you're encountering in your hotel is an intelligent spirit. The Miami Indians settled in the area where your hotel is and were prevalent around there, so it could be something related to them. It also could be something that actually committed suicide in the room or is a resident there who died. These types of spirits tend to make their presence known and want you to acknowledge them.
Okay, so I guess to make it stop, we acknowledge the ghost.
Hello, ghost.
Ghost, we know that you're there.
We're here.
We come in peace.
Yeah.
Shout out Rick Pitino. just want to say that we mean you no harm.
Yes. No. We know. No, I am a friend of ghosts, and we are leaving tomorrow. We're finally leaving Miami. I know that when we checked in, you thought we were going to be here forever because it feels like we've been here forever. We're leaving, and also that guy. Yes, we know he had hair transplant. His name's Joe Buck. We're sorry that he sat here for like 45 minutes.
And just got all up in your ghosty business.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's not gone. Coming back.
Never.
Guess what? We're not coming back.
Yes.
It's too hot here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Miami might be a great city for ghosts because they don't have to deal with the humidity.
Right, right.
So we acknowledge this is your
dry
town.
Dry heat for ghosts.
Yes. This is your town, ghost.
Yes.
You can cuck us all you want. We're out.
The fact that we have a this guy is a ghost hunter for a living, and he's like, you have a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You have a ghost.
I mean, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. So we have a ghost. And we no longer have a ghost because we're going
to
leave.
If there's anything that you want us to do, just let your presence be known. We'll try to help you out best we can.
I'd still like to buy a ghost, so I'm just going to throw that out there. If anyone...
I'll sell you a ghost.
I don't believe you.
I've got a ghost.
I almost bought a ghost that was in a shoebox, but it fell through. So
it's tough to pull the wool over your eyes.
Yeah. seriously, though, hit me up for the ghosts. All right. Let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne. So a quick announcement. I know that everyone thought the takeies were coming on Friday. We're actually going to push them off to next Friday. Hank had a close friend pass away unexpectedly, so he flew back to Boston. We have producer Tom here. He helps out on KFC Radio in the rundown. So Tom is going to do Hot Seat Cool Throne with us. So the schedule is going to be as such. This Friday, so next episode, we'll have Mark Teixeira. He sat with us for a while. Really funny interview.
Told some wild, wild life pro tips to us.
We peeled the onion back on Mark Teixeira to a point that I don't know if we can ever return.
No, the book on Mark Teixeira is like he's a nice guy. He's a pretty normal guy. We got weird with him.
Right. Then we are going to do J.J. Watt Monday and Wednesday, which everyone should be excited about. Check it out. We got some funny promo stuff, too. So follow Pardon My Take. Download the Barstool Sports app. And then... the Friday after the two J.J. Watt episodes, because Hank will be back then. We can't do the takeies without Hank. He's a third of this show.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be back, and we will do the takeies, so get excited. And that also means the award-winning listeners are still on trial here.
That's so another week, yeah.
Another week that you have to subscribe and tell everyone else to subscribe and make sure that you tell everyone else to subscribe and rate it 5-star.
Now's the time to make your case.
Would be a real shame.
Real shame. Shout out Tom, though. Tom's basically a superhero. He took a flight down early this morning.
To live in a ghost house.
Just to live in this ghost house and record our stupid show.
So, Tom, no pressure. You are going to start Hot Seat Cool Throne. I'm looking at your face right now, and you feel pressure.
Just know that everyone out there is going to be judging the shit out of you for this.
Yeah. Shout out your Twitter handle so people can tell you how stupid you are.
It's at Tommy Lee Jr.
Okay.
That's a How shitty do you spell name.
L-E-I-G-H.
Okay. That's all right. So make sure.
Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
Well, that's the correct way to spell
it. You pronounce it Lay?
Okay.
All right.
So,
okay. All right,
so make sure you, if he screws this up, just tell him he's really bad.
Okay. Well, yeah. So PFT and Big Cat have made it very clear that there's a lot of pressure for this. So most of that All-Star game, I kind of just spent brainstorming in my head, and you guys didn't really notice.
Okay.
And you guys were like joking that it's a big deal, but...
Mm-hmm.
I took it pretty serious. So.
Okay. I like that, though. All right. Yeah. Prep into
so let's
it.
See what you got.
So I have to start.
Yeah, you're yeah, you're starting. Now you yep, start. Yep. Nope. You're on the mic.
Hot seat.
I'm Tom going... just pulled out his tip. we're already off and running.
I'm going Aaron Judge's swing.
Ooh.
Because everyone knows the home run derby, whoever wins it, it messes up their swing.
It absolutely yes. does.
Last year, Aaron Judge was supposed to be a phenom. He didn't do so well, and immediately people said, it's because he's so big. So he has too big of a strike zone. He's not mm-hmm. going to succeed in the MLB. He succeeded this year. People are like, he's the next phenom, and now he won the derby. And I already saw chitter chatter on Twitter that watch out for his swing.
Yes. He swung himself out.
Yes.
You hear about guys throwing their arms out. He swung his back out.
Yeah. He was on track to win Rookie of the Year, maybe a Triple Crown, but
watch out. Is Aaron Judge a fraud?
Ooh.
Is he about to become a fraud before a very
flash
eyes?
In a pan?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't think so. I'm just saying keep an eye out for the swing.
Classic right. what might have been situation with Aaron Judge. You know?
He never competed in the home run derby.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Cool thrown.
Cool thrown. I'm going Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna.
Okay.
Because as what happens in the Kardashian world, there is now a new Kardashian controversy, I would say. Kim Kardashian posted a selfie with what was clearly two lines of cocaine. Allegedly cocaine. And she proceeded to tweet about, I'm not even going to pretend to acknowledge these rumors. But then in the same tweet acknowledged them and said that was sugar from our playtime with like Northwest.
Oh, it just perfectly lined up on a mirror.
Yeah, you get so kids play it was on sugar. It was on like a marble table.
So do you think that she is intentionally trying to take the heat off her brother?
I didn't think of that, but maybe.
Okay,
that makes sense. But
probably
either way,
makes more sense. She's just
the Kardashian powerhouse is now. I think there's a new Kardashian story in the news, and people have already forgotten about. Yes.
If there's one thing we know about Kim Kardashian, she's very selfless, and she would gladly ruin her public image to take a little bit of heat off of her fat brother.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
goodbye, okay, cool revenge porn controversy.
Yeah.
Now it's cocaine.
Rob's good. Yeah. All right. You know what? I'm going to give you a B+.
That was good.
All right, that's good.
That B+.
That's
it
better
solid.
Than I expected, right? Cool.
It was solid. That was good. Good job, Tom. All right, PFT, you got yours?
Yeah. My hot seat is... Yeah, put your dip back in.
Yeah, get your dip back in.
Thanks, guys.
My hot seat is birds.
Okay.
So I hate birds. I'm not a bird guy. I think I've been pretty clear about that. A report came out from the Audubon Society.
What about the bald eagle?
Well, they are a bird, and they are affected by this. The bald eagle said that water and birds in the arid West, it's a problem. Habitats are in decline because water's going away.
Okay.
And so birds are going to face like a mass extinction out in the western part of America.
Mm.
So you have to consider the source because like the Audubon Society, basically they only exist just to like sound alarm bells about birds dying.
Yeah, they talk about birds.
They're never like, hey, quick update from the Audubon Society. Birds are doing great.
Yeah.
So
birds
are
thriving.
Thanks for coming out. The birds are wonderful.
Look in the sky. There's birds everywhere. Good job, guys.
Now that I think about it, like birds, that's more of like a fish issue, right? If water's going away.
Yeah.
Why are birds trying to get in on this? Are they like hypochondriacs? So like, fish are dying. Me too.
Also, Audubon Society, maybe count all the pigeons I see into your whole, census here that you do of the birds. Because let's just be honest. The world is going to end up in a place where the pigeons are the king birds and they're the only birds left.
God, I hope not.
It's going to be in like 100 years, it will just be birds are just pigeons.
Quick power ranking, worst birds. I'm going grackle number one, pigeon number two.
Woodpeckers, pretty bad if you get one near you.
Yeah, but woodpeckers, they disprove CTE.
Oh, yeah,
remember?
That's right. Yes, you did. Yes.
They don't get brain injuries.
Yeah, all right. Cool throne.
My cool throne is globalism. So globalism is... We're back, baby.
Getting deep here.
Yeah. So the biggest anti-globalist, Donald Trump Jr., like there are way more countries that he doesn't have hotels in than the ones that he does.
Yes.
So he's an anti-globalist. He's in hot water. And then, stay woke on this, another politician's son, Jeb Bush, just went into business trying to buy the Marlins with the biggest globalist of all time, Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide.
Yes, Dale.
Yes, Dale. So,
greatest combination, by the way. Like, if the Marlins don't work out, Vince McMahon should get Pitbull and Jeb Bush to be a tag team.
Yeah, I don't even think that they can communicate with each other.
They are opposite sides of a battery.
Yes. Pitbull speaks party.
Yeah.
And Jeb Bush speaks like reading.
Yeah, a responsible glass of Chardonnay once a month.
Yeah. Actually, that would be a pretty good buddy comedy. It's like Jeb Bush as Pitbull's stupid accountant.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, Pitbull, maybe it's not prudent to buy this other yacht.
Right.
You have several already.
And then
and Pitbull's like, dale.
Yeah. And
then he buys the yacht anyways and puts Jeb Bush's face into a toilet.
Plopped. And then the ending is Pitbull shows Jeb Bush how to be relaxed and have fun. So he untucks his shirt. Uh-huh. And then Jeb Bush
takes his glasses off.
Yeah. Jeb Bush shows Pitbull, hey, maybe you don't need to buy the 700th pair of white leather pants.
Yeah.
So, boom.
We all learn from each other in this world. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
All right, those are good. My hot seat, I'm going to get away from sports for a minute. Be careful. Hot seat, people who think this is the controversy to bring down the Trumps. Because my favorite part about whatever the Trumps are getting into, the entire family, is the reaction saying, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one. And guess what? This probably isn't the one, so you only have about 24 hours to say it's the one until everyone's like, nothing's probably going
to
happen.
Now, the ultimate Trump card, and that I wasn't trying to make a Riley pun, but the ultimate Trump card that Donald has is the fact that he can pardon anybody.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, his son can get arrested, and they'll be like, guess what, bitch, pardoned.
Yeah.
And if you think that he's going to think twice, but you know what? We need to stick to sports.
Yeah, stick to sports. Stick to sports. Either way, Twitter is going to be, if you're on the hot seat, anyone who thinks this is the one.
Mm.
It's not. My cool throne, fanny packs and lanyards. So I haven't taken off my fanny pack since Friday when I got it at the Cubs game. And let me tell you, boys, my life has changed. I'm never going to be a pockets guy again. You've seen, PFT, you've looked at me with this like longing look. You even said to me today, you're like, what do you got in that fanny pack?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I got all sorts of stuff.
When you see a guy in a fanny pack, you got to know.
Yeah, right.
What's in that sucker?
I got all sorts of stuff. So
yeah, it was funny. You were walking through the hallway today. You're wearing like a neon pink shirt. You're wearing sweat shorts.
Yeah.
You had socks that were pulled up to like your calf, and you're wearing shoes that are like high tops from the mid-90s.
Yeah, Andre Agassi's.
You looked like a nine-year-old in the middle of the 90s. In an amusement park, like looking for your dad, like an oversized 9-year-old.
Right, I look like the 9-year-old that the mom complains, like, I have to spend $500 of groceries on little Timmy because he drinks 6 gallons of milk a day. That was me.
You were basically dressed as Jack, that Robin Williams character.
Yes, but I like the look. I feel like, listen, I probably can't go neon green fanny pack all the time. I'm going to have to diversify my fanny pack portfolio.
Well, yeah, get like a formal one, and
It is
a date fanny pack?
Life-changing. I am a fanny pack guy. And then lanyards. You guys felt the lanyard life. I've been a long time lanyard guy. When you have a lanyard, there's two things that happen when you have a lanyard and you put your ticket in there. One, hands are free. So you can get stuff. You can buy beers. You can buy popcorn. You can buy anything you want. Boom, you're free. Two, you feel like you have VIP access everywhere, even though you don't.
Yeah, I was wearing my lanyard, feeling pretty good about myself, really feeling my flow. Tried to sneak into the Diamond Club,
right?
And I was like, well, they wouldn't let me in. And I've got a lanyard.
Did you see this MasterCard lanyard that they gave out?
And then
to
they just looked at the lanyard and they said, sir, this is the wrong lanyard. So that's a problem. Here's if you're going to be a lanyard guy, you got to learn the ropes and you got to roll around with a couple different colors of lanyards wherever you go so you can switch them out when the security people start looking like, oh, no, this is the blue lanyard section. Yeah. You can blend in like a chameleon.
Yeah, or you'd be the lanyard guy who puts all of his tickets in it. So every game he's ever been to, he is the grown-up version of the spring break guy who doesn't take his wristbands off from every single Senior Frogs he goes to. Kind of a cool look.
Pretty badass. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our interview with Joe Buck. We had him stop by. What do you got?
Before we get to the interview with Joe Buck, I want to talk to you guys about Blue Apron. It's the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. And check out some of these awesome-sounding meals they have coming up. Seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash, sweet peppers. They've got creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles. Love the quick pickles and sweet potato wedges. Chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach and fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn and Cuban bell pepper. And guess what? It's affordable, and we're going to hook you guys up and get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/pardon. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. BlueApron.com/pardon. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Now let's get cooking with Joe Buck.
All right, we now welcome on one of our favorite recurring guests. We've gone from, wow, I can't believe we have Joe Buck on the podcast, to, wow, we're making fun of Joe Buck's hair plugs and cutting our hair in front of him, to, wow, Joe Buck willingly came to our hotel suite that's a little creepy and is sitting down with us. So
with a gigantic furry pillow propping me up.
Right. It feels like a Las Vegas hotel suite a little bit. Yeah. And so we brought him up here. We're using the camera to record this, but it's not actually on. We told Joe, hey, don't worry about that red light. It's not actually recording you, Joe. Nope. I tell that to everyone I bring up here.
Yeah, that's a little disconcerting. I know from my age group that when that red light goes on, the camera's on.
Yes.
It's kind of a Jan Brady, Brady Bunch reference.
You treat every single camera like it's on. You treat every mic like it's a hot mic, right?
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. So since we last spoke, we actually were, I think the last time we were with you was NLCS in Chicago in October. You have called this podcast, by the way, is going to air on Wednesday. So it's Monday. We're right before the Home Run Derby. You have called some of the most memorable sporting events, including the first All-Star game that doesn't matter anymore.
Exactly. I don't know how that's going to go. I actually was part of the minority that liked.
I did too.
Having some sort of, you know, conclusion to the All-Star game that meant something.
Right. But
I like that.
It was stupid that it decided something so important, but I did enjoy the fact that it meant something.
They need to find like a middle common ground, something that's not so important as the World Series.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. And here's the thing that I don't think anybody's thought about, to get serious for 1 second. So now they're going to go back to, or they're going to go for the first time, to whichever team has the best record gets to host the World Series, be the home team. But that could be determined literally the day before the World Series begins, if there are any rainouts, because if you get a wild card team winning it from one league,
they're not going to count the playoff games, though, are they?
No, but I'm saying, let's say a wild card team that wins the LCS in seven games.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And
yes.
Now all of a sudden you thought, well, it was the Dodgers. Obviously they're going to host. Well, now the Dodgers are out.
Right.
So then everybody has to pick up and scramble to the American League city. I don't see how that works out.
What they should do is whichever AL, NL, whoever has the better record in interleague play. Boom. Problem solved.
Problem solved.
So it's you have to carry your own weight. There's a little National League versus American League pride now, right?
I think that would work. I also think that the league that has the team with the best record.
Ooh. Also
could
like
just
that.
Get it. Yep. And if, let's say it's Houston, if...
Which league is Houston in again? I always forget.
They're now
do
in
they
the
switch
American
back?
League.
Are they
the
national
American
again?
League. Yeah, they're... Yes. And so now, if it's in the American League, whoever beats Houston gets... That comes with the prize of beating Houston.
That.
You get home field advantage in the World Series.
On this show, we come up with a lot of really dumb rule changes. Those are actually two good
really
rule
good
changes.
Ones.
Shockingly.
Really good ones.
I feel like this podcast... with me as the guest is already boring.
No. So let's make it interesting.
Okay.
All right. So obviously the two big things that you did call, the Cubs World Series and the New England Patriots comeback in the Super Bowl. So those two, which one is going to go down as a more memorable call?
Before you answer this, I'm going to give a third, and it was the birth of Marlins woman.
Oh, yeah.
When I was behind home plate. That was probably a bigger deal. So we'll pencil that in as number one.
You know what? I'll do a fourth when Whistling Straits let us all down because the golf course sucked, and we're big golf course guys. Uh-huh. We root for the course.
I root for
the
fescues.
Players.
Whistling Straits.
Was that what it's called?
Aaron Hills.
We root for the fescue.
Close enough. Uh-huh. Who gives a fuck?
Right state.
Okay, so Super Bowl and
how about
World
when
Series.
I got Brooks Koepka's wrong girlfriend?
Yeah. You
got put in your place quickly with that
I did.
One, too.
By Brad Faxon.
As smut bloggers, we did not appreciate that.
Uh-huh. That's kind of our thing, is the whole WAGS territory, wives and girlfriends.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I had this poor guy, he hands me this card, and this girl's in every picture, so you think, well, obviously, they've been dating for a long time.
Right.
Evidently, they'd been dating for 6 days. But she's in every U.S. Open victory picture and on TV. So this guy hands me a card. Here's the guy's girlfriend. Go ahead and say it. I said it, and then Faxon goes, "Oh, you know what? No, that he's actually got a new girlfriend. That's whatever her name is." And the guy in the back of the booth, I thought literally shit himself.
Okay, so what do you do there? So do you do Diva Joe Buck and you're like, you're fired. You're never working in this business again.
I mean, that,
you don't cross Joe Buck.
It's kind of sad. Yeah, well, I mean, he has. Let's just say this: he hasn't been heard from. His family wonders where he is.
Pack your bags, buddy.
Right? It's kind of sad, and I'm really finding this pillow comfortable. It's too bad this is not on video. Yes. It's kind of sad. But
drink up, Joe. We got a little drink here for you.
Okay, good. It's kind of sad that you can't make a mistake, correct it, and move on in the world, but that's where we are.
Yes.
I mean, you think about the days of, you know, my dad doing what he did, Harry Carey. Some of that stuff was considered cute. This was a complete screw-up, but we got it right, and then we got off the air, and this isn't, like, the greatest love of his life.
Well, that's the silver lining here, is that at least you didn't call out, like, a girlfriend, and it's like, oh, whoops, he's actually married, and his wife's not here.
Well, I've said,
you
know,
that would have been a lot worse.
That would have been way worse, and I have done worse than even that. When in 2001, I asked from the booth of Tony Womack, after he got a game-winning hit, if the woman hugging him, I was interviewing him from up above, if the woman hugging him on the field was his mom.
Ooh,
and he stopped the whole, I mean, he just won the division series with a game-winning hit, and he stopped, and he went, no, man, that's my wife.
Well, that's way worse. You
could have spun out of that and just been like, wow, I thought she was pretty, and I was going to see if she was single. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, I think you just stopped digging your own hole.
How long did that, like, stay awkward in your brain? Like, that would have
when
been,
you see Tony Womack, woke up the next is it day. Still, like, don't make eye contact
no,
with
no, he was great. I went down after the game. I went into the locker room, which I've never done after a game. Normally, I'm leaving.
Not a real journalist.
Journalism doesn't play a part at all.
Big Cat likes to leave skid marks after games, too.
I don't care after, and then I go before the next game. I went in there, and I said, hey, I am so sorry. And then I got his wife flowers. He could not have been nicer. Then he became a Cardinal, and I was doing some of the games on the team. So we're good.
Classy.
We're all good.
Classy
bunch. All right. No, so
the Cardinals, the Cardinals are just a super classy team. Please elaborate for Big
I've read that online.
Are you happy with your Cubs World Series call? Because when we did talk to you, you're like, this is going to be the biggest moment, you know, and obviously as a Cardinals fan, but you were excited to potentially have the ability to do that.
Yeah, but first of all, the whole Cardinals fan thing doesn't really factor
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it is. Yes. No, it oh, yeah, it does.
Shut up.
When we hear
just
you, we
shut
know.
Up.
We know.
Shut up.
There's pain in your voice
shut
that
up.
Last out. You're like, it can't be.
Yeah.
This can't be happening
this
to me,
this
Joe Buck.
Hell has frozen over.
Yeah.
The Cubs have won the World Series.
No, actually, my voice cracked. It was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I noticed that. I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah, it cracked pretty bad.
Yeah, I know.
That was a wild game. At what point were you, I mean, that game had so many twists and turns that you guys just sitting in the booth, especially during the rain delay, and like, what the hell is going on here?
It was, it was literally easily the most intense moment in my career. You're going, oh my God, we haven't seen this. First of all, you get game 7
right
in any World Series, it's great. Then you get 10 innings involving the Indians, a team that hasn't won forever. Yes. Against the Cubs, it hadn't won in 108 years. And at some point here, one of these two teams is going to do something to win this game and therefore win the World Series. It was intense. It was awesome. I don't think a moment will ever be better in a broadcast booth for me.
During that rain delay, it was one of those situations where you didn't even really have to come up with stuff to talk about. You could just keep reiterating, holy shit, what is going on right now? This is amazing.
Yeah.
So, and it was great TV to just like hear people we were saying the exact same thing. I'm sure all of America was just like,
was just
what
reset.
The hell is going on?
It was,
yeah.
It's almost like I think it was 17 minutes. I don't know what the time was for that rain delay, but it was almost good to kind of catch your breath, go back over the game, have a moment to talk to Smoltz about the series, and then set up. And you know, it wasn't that long. They were right back on the field, and now you're playing again, and the Cubs – you know, they have the right guys coming up, and they won the game.
So two other questions, and I want you to have to think about this for longer than you are because I know it's painful. We don't have video, but I can see the pain in your face.
Okay.
One, do you think the Cubs would have won the World Series if the rain delay didn't happen?
Yeah.
I actually don't. They had that look in the dugout. I remember your cameras panned to, like, a few guys, and it was just like,
well, I
got to
tell you,
along
those lines – Aroldis Chapman pitched the most impressive inning I've ever seen after blowing it in the eighth.
Right.
Being dead tired. He, I think, had a 1-2-3 ninth. It, for sure, obviously pitched a scoreless ninth to get it to the 10th. And, I mean, he was in tears in the dugout moments before that.
Man card.
And then they end up winning. It's impossible to know the answer to that question. I think they had the right guys coming up. And, you know, they took care of the rest.
It also was a weird game because it was two managers that both did a really poor job, I think.
Well, I think Joe Maddon panicked. I do.
Yeah. And Tito did, too. Tito panicked with putting in Andrew Miller so early and being like, we got to put, you know.
But it's so easy for us to sit back. If you're Joe Maddon, you go, oh, my God, this is it. This is game seven. I thought he panicked in game six.
He did.
And the panic that I say, and you know, he has the ultimate comeback to any of this talk. We won, it doesn't really matter. But he took Hendricks out way too early.
Mm-hmm.
And when he took Hendricks out, and he did two things he told us he wasn't going to do, and he's not a liar. He's very open when you talk to him before games. One, he brought Lester in the inning, in a mid-inning, and that forced the change behind the plate, which actually worked to the advantage because Ross had a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chapman again is in the game in the eighth inning. You know, it was just more of the same. But they ended up winning, so who cares?
The real losers were the journalists like us who were on deadline that night.
Yeah.
We did not want to see that game extended. We had to file columns. It was a big thing.
I can see it in your eyes.
Would you say that was the best ending of any World Series of all time?
Well, ooh. I mean, there have been walk-off
Joe Carter
moments. I mean, the ending was a little chunker that...
Not necessarily the last out. And also, they celebrated too early on that last out. Brian started smiling. To smile while he threw
he
it. Kind of showed him up.
He slipped. That ball could have easily gone down the right field line.
Sort of been very Cubs. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he made a good throw. But, you know, was it Bill Mazeroski hitting a walk-off home run in 1960? No, but... With all the history that was involved, it's the best World Series, the best ending to a World Series. Now, every Indians fan is listening to this going,
being like,
that asshole. Because you hate
the Indians.
Well, because I'm from St. Louis.
Right.
With all the history involved, for that thing to end the way it did, it's going to be hard to tell.
The only thing that was missing, I could have gone for some midges in that game.
Ooh.
You know, we had the flood. The Let's get all
midgets?
The biblical stuff.
Midges.
We'll bleep
Jabba
that out.
Jabba Chamberlain.
The gnats that flew in.
Yeah.
That would have been
so
good.
Get all the biblical plagues coming in. Like frogs pestilence. Jumping across. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, big I'm a huge sins. Pestilence guy. Yeah.
It'd be gluttony. I don't know what else.
Big Cat was taking care of that one for
you. That's a good joke. Do you think the Cardinals will ever win another World Series?
No.
Okay, good. No. Moving on. I agree with that. All right, so then the other game.
daughter is in here like, what are you doing?
Yeah, she's mad.
I mean,
yes,
the truth. Of course.
No, they won't.
Okay,
Not in our lifetime.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's,
cursed. Yeah. Just cursed them.
Yeah, it's been a three-year curse or whatever it's been.
Okay, so you call this game, you call this series, best World Series probably of all time, and then you call the craziest comeback I think any of us have ever seen in the Super Bowl. What I mean, when that game ended, were you like, what the hell? Like, this has been the most amazing 4 months of my broadcast.
How much credit do you give yourself as Big Cat's
trying
to
die?
It's really all
the All-Star game's probably going to have a tie again.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it might.
You get to call that.
I called the first one.
Yeah, there you go.
Might as well call the next one.
That's my favorite Bud Selig.
It's over.
Yeah.
And then we saw him go out in a golf cart underneath. And it was in Milwaukee, all places.
I know.
It was the saddest
so
sight.
Awesome.
It was like, oh, I found it sad. You found it awesome.
That was hilarious.
So the Super Bowl was such a bad game for so long. I thought, my God, we're getting another blowout like we had the last time we did it, which was Seattle-Denver.
I had Denver. No surprise. I bet on Denver in that game.
Yeah. Well, that was over after the
first
snap.
Oh, I know.
But in that game... I'm glad that we didn't give up on it and we didn't crown Atlanta champions before it was over. And then all they needed was that little opening. And if you're Atlanta, you go back and you go through 10 decisions and say, if any of these one of these 10 decisions goes the other way, there's almost no time for New England to win the game. But they tried to throw. They could have kneeled on the ball three times, kick a field goal, and won the Super Bowl.
Everything aligned perfectly against the Falcons that game. Did you have anything ready to say? Like if the Falcons had won, did you have Like, what route were you going to go with it? What angle would you take?
Fly, Atlanta Falcons, fly. You are the new world champions of the NFL. So
you're that's great. I just wanted to, I just want to turn the knife on all the Falcons fans out there.
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't that
I mean, you're fly,
you're
Falcons
basically
fly.
Saying
that's
that you
great.
Never actually thought the Falcons have had a chance because that was your call.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even up 28-3. During timeouts when a game like that is happening and the Patriots start making a comeback, do you sit there and like – and turn to Troy and like, this can't happen, right?
Exactly. I mean, I think we probably said that to each other more than once. Like, really? Is Brady going to get the chance? And now you can make the decisions that Atlanta makes and still it's up to Tom Brady and the Patriots to go down and win it, which they did. But, you know, I woke up the next day to kind of answer your earlier question. I thought, what if the referee – headlinesman or whoever who called the winning touchdown in overtime screwed it up? What if the knee was down before he broke the plane in the end zone and I'm going, the Patriots win the Super Bowl, Brady's got his fifth, and then they review it, he doesn't get in, and somehow Atlanta wins that game, I'm done. It's over, it's finished.
You're the Brooks Koepka guy.
But that came later in June.
Right.
Was it louder in the stadium when the Patriots won or when they booed Roger Goodell afterwards?
That's a toss-up. I would say the booing was unnerving.
Are you told to not?
Unnerving. It was unnerving. You felt unsafe. Joe Buck felt unsafe because of Patriots fans.
Put that on the
crawl. Was it classier or less classy than when Randy Moss pretended to pull his pants down?
Ooh,
which was worse?
Look at you bringing history back around. Okay. Somebody's been thinking about this interview.
No, I'm just curious. Like, so you said it was unnerving. So
it was. I don't like seeing people booed. I don't like to
Ooh,
that.
Ooh, I love a good boo.
Well, obviously,
I like a hiss. A whistle.
Ooh, you get real deep into it.
We're big footy guys, so overseas you get the whistles at the refs.
And then the person puts their hand to cup it to give like a half cup.
Yeah.
Boo.
Boo.
Yeah, one of those.
I'm mad.
Yeah, see?
I want to be heard. I'm mad.
Right.
You stink.
This is the way the fans get hurt.
Right. The Moss thing, you know, I got over that very quickly. Within the next 2 seconds, I was over that.
Not us. Every time I close my eyes, I see him pretending to pull down his
every
pants.
Every time someone moons me, I'm like, Joe Buck wouldn't like that prude.
Right. I mean, and mooning is so in these days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. I get mooned all the time.
We're bringing it back.
All the time.
Yeah. Every time I turn, people are mooning. Actually, after that happened, I was in Philadelphia the next season eating breakfast at a diner, and somebody walked along the street in front of the window where I was and pantomimed mooning me while I was eating my breakfast.
That doesn't sound like Philly.
Nice.
And I thought, you know what? You're good.
They might not have even known that you were Joe Buck. That might have just been like that Philly guy. That's his morning constitutional.
Would have been the greatest coincidence of all time.
By the way, I look at my notes. I did write down Whistling Straits. So, you know, I did a good job, which
good
it's
job.
Not. All right. Before we have a Mount Rushmore with you. Yes. And we're about to get to that. But I had one last question.
Okay.
You have recently come out and said,
"Congrats!
Good job on that heroic." And said that we should stick to sports, and we are a stick to sports podcast. So
we should stick to.
Would you like to stick to some sports?
I don't understand any of those.
We stick to sports all the time on the show. So
we never
like,
stray
I
from
said
sports.
Stick it's like, to sports.
You said that when you were on. You said that. Fans listen to, you know, tune into sports games. So they don't want to hear about politics. They want to hear about the other stuff.
So
we will stick to sports.
You don't want to talk about Trump? You don't want to talk
stick to sports.
Talk about Putin?
Stick to sports. Stick to sports.
You don't want
to
talk about
who do you think is going to win the World Series? Do you think the Nationals have a chance?
Probably the Astros from Houston.
I think the Astros are really good. I think the Dodgers are really good.
It's
I think
good
they're
sports.
On a crash course for the fall classic.
Good job sticking to sports.
Good job.
Do you should just throw in a couple politics.
Who'd you vote for?
Just for randomly.
You know what?
How much money do you make?
Yeah. What do you make after taxes? How many properties do you own? That's actually a real question.
I'm in a tax bracket that likes some of the tax proposals.
So you and Phil Mickelson.
Do you fly private?
I don't. Not, no.
Really?
Rarely.
Joe Buck. Wow. Rarely. Man of the people. Not you fly first class.
Well, here's the thing. I live in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So not only do I fly commercial a majority of the time, but it's Southwest.
Ooh.
Mm. So get the cattle call at the start of it.
And yeah. I act like I'm in first.
So, let me, you get so you check in like 23 hours and 59 minutes before
you
pay.
Right, yeah. Do you pay the extra to get jump the line?
I pay the extra. I do pay too. The extra to what is business
Look at
select?
Us. We're just mm-hmm. the, we're basically the same.
I go business select and I sit in the front row like I'm in first.
Yeah,
row.
Right.
When Phil Mickelson didn't play in the U.S. Open, were you like, I hear you, man, because if you win, that's going to be so many taxes you'll have to pay.
Yes, that's exactly. That's why.
That's probably why I didn't. Yeah.
You're going to have to owe your bookie so much money.
Yeah. Well, your bookie meaning the security and Exchange Commission.
I didn't vote for either.
You didn't vote for either. Oh, you're libertarian. Wow.
Yeah.
Snowflake.
Sure.
Interesting.
Are you libertarian?
No pardon seatbelts.
Dr. Jill Stein.
couldn't vote fast enough for Dr. Jill.
Okay.
Dr. Jack Ramsey. I voted for him.
Let's do our Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Oh, wait. One last one. Cutler versus Romo. Who's going to be better?
Well, Cutler. I mean, I'm a Fox guy. Come on.
Oh, yeah. That's a stupid question.
Yeah.
Let's pretend Romo was on Fox. Okay, now say it again.
Shitty question by me.
Romo is going to be the best.
You think he's going to
be? Say Romo was going to be good, though.
So here's the thing. Like, we were on his conference call because we were trying to ask him some dumb shit questions.
God.
We didn't get to, but he came across
nightmare.
So boring.
Yeah, so boring.
Like, he
fell asleep.
Yeah.
I actually fell asleep.
Did?
Tony Romo put me to sleep. True story.
I think he and the world is going to be surprised at what this job demands. Let's just say that
you can't be nice all the time.
You can't be nice all the time. Tony Romo is a nice guy. I'm not saying he's. I really do root for him, but I think it's going to be a difficult transition. And I know from doing golf for the first time 3 years ago,
people were not nice to you.
This is not the most forgiving society we live in these days.
Also, golf fans, they'll like calling rule violations. They're a special breed.
Since we've spoken, have you thought about me even once when you know there's a close up on your head and you're like, Big Cat's probably taking a picture
of
my head?
I swear to God, I do that all the time. Whenever we come on camera at the beginning, I'm like, that prick is taking a picture of my head, and he's blowing it up.
And everyone else does it too now. If you look at my mentions, whenever you have a close-up, it is insane how many pictures are.
And then you get the dead spin like mid-blink. I need to
stop blinking.
Tape my eyelids open.
Well,
so
you have a good surgeon, so you can probably get like some surgery to keep your eyelids permanently open.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
Oh, this is crazy.
Clockwork Orange.
I think Charo got that.
So this is wild news. I actually just got an update here. Tim Tebow just got called up to the Mets.
Is that for real?
Yeah, coming back from the All-Star
game.
What
are your thoughts?
Wow.
Groundbreaking. I don't know.
How do you think he's going to do?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think there are a handful of guys that – when they come to the plate, whatever you're doing, you're not going to leave the television. Mm. And he will be that guy for the New York Mets. Mm. Aaron Judge is that
John
guy.
John Lester,
when he comes to the
if
plate.
If he hits a home run, that's the biggest story of the sports year.
Bartolo Colon.
Yep.
Bartolo Colon.
Another one.
So we're just naming really shitty hitters if they luck
you
into
have
one.
To watch
if,
them.
If he succeeds, it'll be unbelievable to me.
I also just made that up, so it didn't actually happen.
Testing people like that. Yeah. Oh, one last. We got to get to Mount Rushmore. We're getting to Mount Rushmore. Can you please say Yabo on Tuesday night when there's a home run? Come on.
Well, this time it doesn't count, so I could probably
get
that in.
Yeah, right. Just give us a Yabo. Yeah. Yabo! Just like that. Just let it.
Yabo!
There we go. People would. If you do that for me, I'll tell people to stop taking big head pictures.
I don't
of
care
you,
if they take
But they're
going to
still do it. That
I
was
don't,
an empty,
but I don't
that
care.
Was an empty promise.
Why would
by
I
me.
Care?
Yeah. All right. Mount Rushmore. Ready? Mount Rushmore of voices. Uh-huh. We're going anywhere. So you can do music. You can do actors. You can do sports voices. Anything, any voice you want to throw out there. Your top four all time.
Uh-huh.
Who wants to start first?
Let's do a snake draft.
Okay.
Let's bring back.
Draft.
So you can start. So we'll go 1, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Two, one.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Got it. And
snake
somehow
draft.
We'll
pretty
each
clear.
Go to four.
Yes,
correct.
Eventually.
Okay. I get to go first?
Yep.
Yeah.
Vin Scully.
Oof. That's a good
suck
one.
Up.
Overrated.
It's not suck
oh,
up.
Very overrated.
Overrated.
Very overrated.
I mean, he left the game a little too early, I'd say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mailed it in.
Okay. I'm going to go with, this is tough to be the first one. Freddie Mercury.
No complaints here.
Freddie Mercury. All-time best rock voice of all time.
Okay.
Great singer.
That's it right there.
I'm going to cuck you on this one, Big Cat.
Ooh.
Harry Carey.
Okay.
Love Harry Carey's voice.
Okay.
Grew up watching Cubs games and Braves games. And who was the guy that called the Braves games with a...
That's his son,
right? Skip. Yeah, so...
That was a dirty... That was, by the way, that was a very dirty...
that was dynamic a very duo. Dirty snake draft move by you.
Yeah.
Because oh, I knew what I was I doing. I thought I could easily take Harry at 4 because okay. no one else would take him.
All right, so my first is Harry wow. Carey. My second is Ja Rule.
Okay.
Wouldn't be nothing without my baby.
Yeah.
Go put on me the way you want.
Yeah. You like that one?
I do.
Okay. Drew. Next up, I'm going to go with, I'm going to say Leave Schreiber. Yeah, I'm going to throw it out there.
I see that because when you watch him, let's say in Ray Donovan.
Yes.
You can't believe that's the same guy that does voiceover for HBO.
Right. Right. And it, what was the old, I shouldn't take, I'm not going to take it. I'll have to ask this when it comes back around. But yes, every time Leif Schreiber does any kind of sports documentary, you know right away, you're like, okay, I'm in. I'm in for this. All right. What's yours? You get two.
Vedder.
Okay. Eddie Vedder?
Okay.
Eddie Vedder.
I'm going to give you a hard disagree on this one.
Okay.
Because
I really don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, this is what guys do, all right? Okay. Guys sit down, this we debate things. Do? We yeah. embrace debate.
Embrace okay. debate.
So here's the problem with Eddie Vedder is he does like, he doesn't sing it with vibrato. He just does.
No, he's
saying it's a fake.
It's a fake vibrato. I'm this, calling him out.
He plays guitar, so he knows music. So he not to brag. Judges everyone yeah. on this stuff. He's one of those music snobs.
Okay. So
I agree with you. All right.
I'm not going to count that one, but go ahead.
Gandhi. He had the voice of an angel.
Whoa. Soft. I don't think I've ever heard Gandhi's voice.
Well,
did he talk?
Your loss.
I thought, is that what? Oh, no, it's monks that can't talk. Okay. I'm going to have next one. I don't even know his name. The voice, the Price is Right voice. Come on down.
Oh, Bob. Oh, the not Bob guy? Barker. The
No. The old guy.
The old guy.
The old guy.
Oh, what
He's
was
passed
his name?
Away. I don't know. We'll have to fact check that.
Okay.
Price is Right voice.
Okay. Let me go with James Earl Jones.
Ooh.
This is CNN.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great voice. My last one is going to be controversial, Stephen Hawking. So it's iconic.
It's not his voice.
It's one of a kind. It counts as his voice, though.
It's because, like picking Siri.
Well, I'll ask you this. If you hear Stephen Hawking talk, then you would automatically think, like, that's Stephen Hawking, right?
Rod Roddy is the name of the Price is Right. My right. bad. That's
There's no mistaking Stephen Hawking's voice. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I guess that's true. So, yeah. Okay, fine. What was the old NFL Films guy? Was that John Facenda?
Mm-hmm.
That's my fourth pick. Yeah, that's my fourth pick. I'm a big, you know, whenever you have the documentary and, like, those guys, the Autumn Wind is a Pirate kind of stuff. I
mean, the Ice Bowl, yeah.
That's, you gotta, it gets you going. Gets the chills going.
See, I didn't think you were going to actually be serious.
Oh yeah,
with this.
We take our Mount Rushmore
dead
serious.
Yes.
You do.
We don't worry. Make your fourth pick, and then we can discuss ones we might have missed.
Hmm. Okay.
Pick yourself. Go ahead. You know you want to. Pick yourself.
No.
No.
I would say
you want to.
No. Mel Blanc.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a really good pick. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he did every cartoon voice
mm-hmm.
known to man. Everyone. From, I mean, Fred Flintstone to Tweety Bird.
Yeah. Bugs Bunny, Elmer
Bugs
Fudd,
Bunny,
Daffy
yeah.
Duck.
It's like our friend.
Bunny.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one.
We
you redeemed yourself.
So we'll put Hank Azaria on there, too.
Yes, Hank Azaria is a miss. Morgan Freeman. I feel like Morgan Freeman, though, everyone says Morgan Freeman, right. So.
I actually had Abe Lincoln on mine. I don't think anyone's ever heard him talk, but you have to imagine it was
well,
good.
I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis, he channeled him.
Yeah.
That's right. So I'm going to trust Daniel Day on that
the
one.
The other ones I had that just missed my cut were Vern and then Keith Jackson. Keith Jackson, yeah. when you know, a pack to the Rose Bowl with the sun setting and Keith yeah. Jackson's voice, that is such an iconic, like, and it, obviously it's, I'm stuck in, like, being 10 years old when I think of that, but that is the best.
Okay. I don't disagree
Who
with
Who else you yet. Got? Yourself? Go ahead. Pick yourself.
No.
You want to pick yourself.
No. I would say Ernie Harwell.
Okay.
Longtime voice of the Detroit Tigers. I got to do one game with him, and it was effortless to watch him.
That's a good one.
Is his voice also on the Monica Lewinsky tapes?
No, that's me.
That's you.
Yep.
What'd you say on that?
Well, it wasn't like I was a part of the tape. I'm a part of the tapes because the game's on in the background.
Right.
So Monica and Linda Tripp are commiserating over their Bill Clinton stories. And in the background, you hear me going, ground ball to Jeter.
That's
over
so
to
great.
First, two out.
That's so great.
We're of the age that – the Kenneth Starr report was like
that's porn.
It was basically, yeah, it was like penthouse,
mm-hmm.
penthouse porn. Like, you know,
did it start? Did the Kenneth Starr report start with "I never thought this would happen"?
It was,
I thought for a while that third base you had to go buy a cigar.
Yeah,
first.
You had to do. Yeah, it was very intensive. So mm-hmm. yeah, I remember reading that, and being like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how that works.
I also had Charlton Heston on the list. Ooh, great voice of God,
one.
Right?
Good one. And Moses.
And Moses, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And the NRA.
And the NRA. Damn, he's got
Burgess Meredith.
Okay.
Mickey from the Rocky movies.
Oh.
Come on, Rock.
Oh, okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
He's going to knock your block off.
What do you think about Marv? Albert.
Yes.
I mean.
A truly disturbed individual.
From downtown.
Yeah.
Bang. That's,
you know, 90s NBA. There's, yeah. It's all nostalgia.
The guy from NBA Jam, whoever that guy's voice was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom shakalaka.
Do you ever, all right, so we'll end the Mount Rushmore with this. Do you ever think that in, you know, 15 years,
no.
there's going to be some 30-year-olds that are like, yeah, my nostalgia is Joe Buck?
No. Yeah, I mean, only because of.
But that's cool.
They're stuck with me.
But no, but like just talking
they
about
didn't
Keith
have
Jackson,
a choice.
You know, Marv Albert. I'm thinking about the moments
no, get,
and the things that
I
I've watched.
I get people that come up to me about the Yankees, Jim Leyritz home run in 96, the Red Sox winning it in 2004. But I'm doing TV. I feel like in this day and age, you got to just say it and get out of the way, which I did for the Cubs. You let them all celebrate.
Your voice cracked, but yeah.
Yeah, no. No. But that's because I had vocal issues.
It's kind of all we've thought about.
6 years ago. Really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you almost went mute, right?
Almost
yeah.
went, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But I didn't. And I was there.
Would have been a real shame if someone had been able to announce that final out without their voice cracking. I actually
maybe a person with a full
you know
head
why?
Of natural
yeah.
hair?
Yes. I actually have a serious question for you. So you are kind of like you're at the peak of your profession. I think we can all agree on that.
Well, I
so
was until I walked in here.
Yes, I would say that. You're definitely taking a dent.
You're the number one guy. How do you keep yourself from just coasting and not letting like somebody else come up and take your place?
I fly
Southwest.
Right there.
When you get honey roasted peanuts and a small plastic cup of
yes.
Diet Coke,
yes.
you're pretty well grounded.
You live in St. Louis and you fly Southwest.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty easy to just, you know, start showing up and just like kind of coasting, and you'd probably last another 10, 15 years if you just like shut it down entirely.
And just showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's a 2-2 pitch to...
here's a guy, some white guy.
Yeah.
Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, there we go.
Fantastic player out of Colorado. Look at him
it.
Look at him run.
Could do it.
Look at him go. The hair is flowing.
Charlie Blackman.
Think
about it. You do it. You keep cash and paychecks. We'll be your PR team and be like, no, Joe Buck has not lost a step.
Still has his fastball.
And then you give us 10% of your paycheck. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Joe Buck, thank you very much. Third time. Do you have a recurring guest shirt?
I do not.
We need to.
We'll get him one. We got a guy that walks around.
Yes, well, we send it. We have literally
it's one guy.
Only four guests, and it's pretty.
Who else has one?
Rachel Nichols
Blake,
has one.
Blake Griffin basically begged us for one for the last year, so we got him one. Scott Van Pelt.
I think we sent out like five.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's about it.
Five of them.
We only sent out five, so it's very exclusive club.
Very exclusive. Mount Rushmore of recurring guests.
Almost
shirt owners.
Are you mad that you weren't on our Mount Rushmore recurring guests?
No.
You didn't even know that happened.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah. We'll cut that, Hank.
All right. Joe Buck, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Always.
All right, bye.
All right, let's take a quick break to talk about the CreditWise app with a message brought to you by Capital One. An athlete stays in shape by thinking about key factors that influence their game. Eating well, practice, training, and exercise. Sounds basically like what I'm up to. Doing a lot of bench press. Doing a lot of sprint drills, doing a lot of ketosis. Well, it's the same thing if you're trying to keep your credit health in shape. There are key factors you have to keep an eye on, and the CreditWise app helps you keep track of all of them. Do you pay your bills on time? How many accounts do you have? And how long have your accounts been open? When you keep those factors in check, you can keep your credit score strong and healthy. CreditWise also lets you check your TransUnion credit report anytime you want for signs of error, theft, or fraud. If something looks wrong, the app will tell you what to do next. CreditWise will also send you automatic email alerts when your credit report changes. And the best part, it's free for everyone, whether you're a Capital One customer or not. So download the free CreditWise app today and keep your credit strong.
Before we jump into segments, I want to talk to you guys about Miller Lite. I'm on a diet, and dieting and darting usually don't mix. Then I remember that Miller Lite is brewed for more taste with only 96 calories, and I'm like, darty on. For darties that turn into nardies, there's only one beer for the job. Miller Lite, the original light beer brewed for more taste while still being less filling. Dieting, darting, barbecuing, there's no way I'm cutting out any one of those activities. That's why I reach for the Miller Lite, the original great-tasting light beer that doesn't compromise on taste.
All right, let's get to some segments. Thanks again to Joe Buck. It's good to know that he thinks about us. mm-hmm. when he gets the zoom in.
We're so in his head.
You're thinking just about like us right now, Joe Buck.
Just like those stupid hair plugs.
Yeah. Boom roasted. No, Joe actually is like, I've never done more of a 180 on a guy because the first interview we did with him, we're like, man, Joe Buck's pretty cool. Then he let us do an exit interview with him. Then he's got a busy week, All-Star week. Boom. Personally made time to come sit with us, hang out. Fucking good dude.
Yes. Really good like dude. Joe Buck. He's a reoccurring guest.
Yes.
We'll get you that t-shirt within the next 6 months.
We'll fly it Southwest to you.
Yeah.
So you'll never know. All right. Let's do some segments. First up, we have Mayweather-McGregor update. So the first of, I think, like a few press conferences happened today in L.A. or yesterday in L.A. Two quick things off the bat. McGregor had a suit that was like pinstripes and the line said, fuck you, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Two, Mayweather, for the first time in his life, is very clearly overmatched in the shit-talking game.
Yeah, so he's been known as a good shit-talker, but in reality, he's just been like, I'm going to beat the fuck out of this guy, and then he ends up just beating the fuck out of the guy. There's no real creativity to his shit-talking, but I think
he's fighting guys who don't have personality. I mean, Ricky Hatton was like the only guy who was like, okay,
Ricky Hatton wasn't personality, he was just British. He was like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, well, McGregor has that where basically anything McGregor says is funny because it's Irish.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck him up.
I'm going to fuck with this motherfucker. I'm going to fuck him. Was even close.
I'm getting Tom's.
Also, his suit said fuck you as the pinstripes in his suits. That's the guy that's earned his pinstripes.
Right, exactly. So, and then Floyd, thoughts and prayers to him, by the way, because he's broke.
Big time.
So, which is McGregor, you know, jabbed at him a little bit with that. He was wearing a sweatsuit.
Uh-huh.
He did not look as nice as McGregor. Maybe he actually is broke. It would be great if McGregor just canceled the fight so that Floyd had to go to jail again.
Mm-hmm. Or just delayed it for like a couple days so that Mayweather had to spend like a few more bucks in the hotel.
When's the extension for taxes? It's like September.
October 15th.
So just keep delaying until then.
Make it Halloween weekend.
Yeah, make him sweat. Uh-huh. Make him sweat.
I like that idea a lot. It's kind of ironic that his nickname's Money. Right. That's maybe
whoops.
Turn the knife a little bit on that one.
Yeah.
Maybe like, oh, big money. Okay.
The fact that he made like $110 million after taxes less than 2 years ago, and now he's already asking for some tax breaks.
I think, you know, if he's saying after taxes, I don't think that he pays taxes.
Everything's after
That's
taxes.
That's probably an issue. Yeah. He lives his entire life after taxes.
Yes, exactly. All right. Next up, we have put one in his ear hole. This was, to tell you how boring the All-Star game was, it basically is known as the Nelson Cruz takes a picture with Joe West game.
Selfie-gate is what everybody's calling it.
Mm-hmm. So are you putting one in Nelson Cruz's ear hole, or are you putting one in the people who call it a selfie ear hole?
You know what? I'm okay. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm not big into labels,
mm-hmm.
but I'm more into like put one in Nelson Cruz's ear hole. But I am kind of woke that it might be a viral ad.
Mm.
So that's
always
what,
always
that's what I'm most woke about. I was thinking about it.
Wait, let me stop you there for a second. You think it's a viral ad with Nelson Cruz from the Seattle Mariners and Joe West, the most hated guy basically in Major League Baseball.
Well, here's where my mind
went. You're right. Yeah, two relatable guys. Here's where my mind
went with it. And I know what you're saying. Why would any company pay Joe West's face to be in a viral ad? Well, I'll tell you why. It's for Tinder. So they always say, If you're going to upload like a pic to a dating site,
mm-hmm.
make sure that your ugliest friend is next to you.
Yeah.
So that way you look way more attractive. So Nelson Cruz, he's got Joe West. You could probably, I wish that the second time that Nelson Cruz had gone up to bat, they had just projected the image of the first selfie onto Joe West's jowls.
So we were sitting behind home plate. Shout out Marlins man, the most humble man in the world, hooked us up. He's the best. Marlon's been the best. But anyway, we were sitting behind home plate, so we couldn't see Joe West's face. I watched it after. Joe West, when he's laughing and he has the mask on, it is awesome because the mask rests on where his chin should be, but mm-hmm. his chin isn't there because he's got the whole turkey neck. Mm-hmm. And you could see it like jiggling. And it was, I've never seen anything like it. So maybe it is a viral ad just for, hey, let's see if we can see how weird Joe West is when he laughs with a face mask on.
Right. Joe West has a fupa for a neck.
Yeah.
And so whenever you see a guy like that in the wild, you have to take a picture with him just so that you can upload it to a dating site.
Yeah. No, it's underneath. Yeah. It's
a noopa.
nipple upper. I don't even know what a fupa is.
Yeah. But see, what I didn't like also after the picture, he put the phone into his back pocket, which means that he couldn't slide. So he's endangering the team.
And by the way, the answer to put one in his ear hole, it's Yachty for taking the picture and stopping the game.
Yeah.
Not the Cardinal way. Respect the fucking game, Yachty. That actually was disgusting. I think he should be banned from baseball.
I wish that he had gotten beaned for that.
Yeah. Joe Horn got fined when he took a Sharpie out from underneath the goalpost.
Mm-hmm. You think Manfred's going to do something about this?
He should. If he wants to control the game before Yachty tries to control it for him.
Going to have the inmates run the asylum, Manfred.
Bullshit. All right. We have also a stay woke from the All-Star game because the other big story was the freeze. And the freeze got smoked in the All-Star game. We were all excited to see the freeze.
Maybe it was dry ice. That smokes.
Yeah, there you go. Dry ice is so fucking cool, man. Yeah. Like, how does it work?
I have no idea. I wish Hank was here to try to explain it to me because, wait, it's cold, but it burns you and it smokes.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out. I'd like to see Bill Nye explain that one.
We should, do they have dry ice vapes? If they don't, I think
we should just start huffing dry ice.
Is that dangerous?
No,
I'm looking at Tom and Tom. Well, I mean, Tom doesn't know what the fuck.
You're fine. You can vape anything.
Can you dry ice vape?
No, dry ice is incredibly dangerous. I learned about it. I remember in high school, it's if you touch it, you can lose your appendage.
I'm gonna seek a second opinion. Erroneous.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, get at us about dry ice.
Okay, what were you even talking about? Oh, the freeze. It's 1 a.m. in Miami, and we're podcasting with a ghost, so apologies in advance.
Yeah, that was the ghost that sidetracked us.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't us.
I mean, dry ice basically is a ghost. Yeah. We should go back down that rabbit hole.
All right, so the freeze ran, and we were all really excited to see him run. Because the freeze is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the Marlins, they really screwed with everybody because the stadium staff had a guy who was already pretty fast race against the freeze. And you get a 30-yard head start against this guy. The freeze came back. He narrowed the deficit at the end, but he lost by a good 10 yards.
He also, we saw that it wasn't – the Braves didn't ship in their ready, set, go guy. So it was the Marlins ready, set, go guy. So the word on the street from, hey, guess what? Who do you think had that detail that wanted to tweet it out?
He had a slow second gun.
Yeah. Who do you think? What reporter do you think had that detail and was pretty proud of
would
it?
Would that be, he looks kind of like an anemic vampire. looks like, yes. Count Chocula fucked Al Pacino.
Yes.
That guy?
That nerd.
Durnovel.
He had it instantly. So the freeze was basically behind the eight ball from the start. But there's a stay woke. People are saying it wasn't the real freeze because he wasn't wearing his normal shoes. He usually wears Nikes.
I'm told he usually wears Adidas. He was wearing Nikes tonight.
The freeze does not change brands.
Yeah. So we're very woke on this. We think that this is all it's going to be resolved in a rematch.
Yeah.
So the freeze is going to, there's going to be a commercial, a documentary that comes out about this.
Basically everything is a commercial.
This is how boring the All-Star game was. Yeah. But I'm actually very interested in the freeze. I love the freeze. I want to see him come back and reclaim his rightful spot at the top of between inning sprinting contests.
I have another stay woke for you. And I want to throw this at you. I want your fresh brain, right? Okay. So we go to the Marlins Stadium both nights. It's packed. We notice, guess what? This stadium is not built for capacity.
Yep.
It literally is like a bar. If you ever go to a bar and it's the fire code says there will only be 200 people and there's 500 people in there, that was Marlins Park for the entire weekend because you couldn't go anywhere. It's clearly built a stadium. They're 10,000 people might show up?
Yeah. I mean, the people that designed it were realistic, and they said, this is a bad sports town. We don't need to be able to fit. We'll put all the seats there.
Yeah.
But they don't need to be able to walk around the stadium.
Right.
Because we're only, it's seriously built for about 15,000. And whenever you need to go, to the bathroom, whenever you need to go get something to eat, you're just rubbing elbows with everybody. It's very annoying.
Okay. So here's where the stay woke comes in. We're in total agreement that there's probably only should be 10,000 people in Marlins Stadium at once. And that's probably the correct number.
I think, just 10,000 Miamians in any one central location at one time. Yeah.
So the Marlins report that they have 20,000 people a game. That's no way that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where the stay woke comes in. Did you notice that when we were on the Wi-Fi in Marlins Stadium, it kept on kicking us out every 10 minutes, and then it would just come right back on.
Mm-hmm.
Kick you out, you log back in. Kick you out, log back in. I bet the Marlins do their attendance based on how many people log into the Wi-Fi every night.
That's probably true. They get a lot of different.
I counted it as like 50 people. And guess what? Florida's never had a problem with voter fraud or fake people voting like 100 million times.
They didn't do enough load testing on the Wi-Fi. Right. Good thing Rick Pitino was there.
Yes. Well, there we go. Rick is getting hammered.
This is a hot Rick
yeah.
show.
Yeah. So that's my stay. And Jeffrey, do you like this stay woke that they basically are counting all the people by how many logins they have on the Wi-Fi? And then every single person counts for like 15.
I like that a lot. So the hotel that we're in right now, they're like, dear God, we have 70,000 people staying with
yes,
us tonight.
Yes. This is how Miami just operates.
Yeah.
They just base all their stats on Wi-Fi.
Big scam town.
Yeah. Huge. Huge. Who's the bad guy?
Who's the bad
Never
guy?
Never seen a bad guy like
that's
this.
Why last time you lost people like me. Like you need this. People like me to say that's the bad yes. guy.
Hey, that's the bad guy. Who's the bad guy? That's the bad guy. All right. Last segment. We're going to wrap it up. We have a little cease and desist for Mark Cuban. So, hey, Cubes, little cease and desist here. It was reported that he publicly told Dennis Smith Jr. to delete his bad tweets.
Yeah, bro.
Dennis Smith Jr., who has been drafted by the Mavs. Guess what? This is our lane. The tweet was, everybody has God-given talents. Mine just so happens to be slanging this wood in my pants.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Mark Cuban, you own your team. You tweet erratically. You deny us a discussion on the podcast. Do not start stealing our PR 101 tweets to delete tweets before you draft a guy.
That's right. Also, Mark, maybe if you thought this was like such a big problem, you could have done something about it a few years ago and maybe designed an app that deleted people's messages.
I just
and
dusted
so,
you, bro.
Yeah, and so they wouldn't be sticking around online and coming back and biting people in the ass when they enter the professional world. Maybe you should have thought of that and designed an app.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of one right now. Yeah. I'm going to call it Dust Cyber.
Cyber, yeah, let's dust each other.
Yeah, just dust up.
Hey, I'll meet you on the dust.
Do kids, how old are you? 24. Do kids
okay,
still...
Okay, you definitely don't know what the fuck dry ice is. So we're totally off that.
Do kids
we
still...
We can smoke dry ice.
Do kids still dust off?
Do you dust? You dust, bro?
You dust?
I don't know what that means.
You never dust?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Millennials don't dust.
Yeah, I bet you I can find all your tweets. You don't dust. Do you not know what Cyberdust is?
Oh, I know what Cyberdust is, yeah.
Mark Cuban just basically tried to create like a lamer Snapchat after Snapchat.
Right. No, yeah, I don't dust, though.
Here's what Mark Cuban did. He's a disruptor, so he decided, you know what? I'm going to create a Snapchat where you can't send pictures of your dick.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a real big success.
Yes. So Mark Cuban, cease and desist. All right, that's our show. I think we have enough. Cut this.
I don't think we need to do guys and chicks. How long are we at? We're at 46.
Yeah, let's see. We're good.
All right, that's our show. Like we said, no takeies on Friday. We're going to wait till Hank gets back. We're going to be doing Mark Teixeira on Friday, J.J. Watt Monday, J.J. Watt Wednesday, some awesome promo stuff for that, and then the long-awaited takeies will be on Friday. So guess what? If you want to be an award-winning listener, a two-time award-winning listener, maybe you know, like Hulk Hogan said, eat your vitamins and say your prayers.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not even really a title if you can't defend it.
Mm.
So are you guys a dynasty?
Hardest thing to do in sports is defend your title.
You know what? You get two in a row, we're talking dynasty now.
Yeah, maybe send a text message to your friend. Say, hey, download this podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe then tweet it at us at Pardon My Take. Say,
love
hey,
you.
I told people to download this podcast. Then maybe we'll retweet it, and then more people will see it, and then download it again, and then tell other people, and then have a kid. You know what? We should actually just like be like China. Let's just have a shitload of kids, and then we can just make them all download it.
Love you guys.
Shine away. shine.